Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Beamer Distributors Blog Talk Show. This is your show. It's designed for all Beamer distributors across the country to provide you with the latest information, training, and current events. It's a live, interactive show where we value your participation. Just hit one on your phone and we'll open your line so you can ask questions and share information and testimonials. You'll hear from individuals who are experiencing amazing results in their business and with the use of their Beamer. But remember, this information of Beamer technology is not designed to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or ailment. These testimonials have not been evaluated or reviewed by the FDA. This call is for education only, and no medical or income claims are intended. This call is not put on by Beamer USA. It's just us, a group of independent Beamer distributors all helping one another. So grab a pen and paper, listen carefully, and get ready to learn and share. Stay tuned. The show is about to begin.
Hello, and welcome, everyone, to Beamer Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rainey Hale, so that you know this is Horse Thursday. Today is Thursday, May 13th, and it's a gorgeous day here in the Pacific Northwest, Portland area. I think it's going to be in the mid-70s and just sunny and warm. Actually, high 70s, I think, today, actually. So beautiful spring day for us here. Before I say hello to my co-host, I'd like to remind everyone to please grab a pen and paper. We almost always are going to have a phone number or a website or, you know, maybe a YouTube channel or something like that that you're going to want to write down. So you want to be ready for that so you can. And please press one on your phone if you want to talk with us. If you have any questions or comments, testimonials, anything like that, we'd love to hear from you. It's really a big part of what our show is about, is talking with all of you. And chances are, if you've got a question, somebody else does too. So it'd be good to talk about it so that everyone can get the answer. And then if you've got a story, those are, you know, some of our most favorite things. And it doesn't even have to be some of these, you know, crazy stories that we hear that are just amazing. But, you know, some of my most favorite stories are just horses being able to behave like horses again. You know, those are just my most favorite stories. So we would love to hear from you guys. So please press one on your phone if you want to chat with us. The sooner you press one on your phone, the sooner I know who wants to talk with us and the better chance I have to get to everybody. So please do that. And I do want to just remind everyone, sorry, I'm not sure what's wrong with my throat today. to remind everyone that for this show, we do really need to keep it to stories and questions and things about horses with the horse unit, and really need to keep it more behavioral and training type stories instead of, you know, any kind of medical for this show especially. So with that said, I want to say hi to my co-host. Hi, Cindy.
Good. Now, see, this is contagious, Rainey. Good morning, everybody. I'm Cindy Schellenberg from Northern California, and it's not yet a beautiful day here today, but any kind of moisture we can get from fog and stuff is just really desperately needed because we're so much headed into a major drought. So, you know, that's on everybody's mind or in the California and Nevada area. And just happy to be able to listen to people and see what's going on out in the horse world. So happy
Great.
To be here.
All right. Yeah, you know, even up here, we've already been in a little bit of fire danger this year so far. So with, you know, we had a week there where it was really warm and the winds were coming from a certain direction. And so I'm afraid it's going to be a bad one. So for everybody. So dry winter. So we all need to be prepared for that, for ourselves and for our horses. And we all know from our experience last year what Beamer can do for that, because it's a stressful situation any time those fires are anywhere near, both, you know, physical stress and an emotional stress for all of us. So, yeah, so we'll have to keep Beamer in mind again for this summer, I am afraid. So, all right. Well, Cindy, we don't so far have anyone that wants to chat with us. So I'm not sure exactly what all they're working on. I haven't had a chance to listen this week to the previous Monday blog talk for their quick start, where they are in there. But what are some of the other questions that you get most commonly from newer people that you think maybe we could talk about that that we haven't, of course, already, that maybe would benefit everyone for these kind of quick start things?
Of course, it's always different, but one of the things that's constant from people, it's not so much a question, but it's just an observation. Like if we're doing something together or on a three-way call, I really encourage you to take advantage of three-way calls because that third-party validation can make a huge difference for someone just to hear the same thing that you've said from someone else. And it doesn't take away from your being the experienced person or not expert with your client. It just validates that, you know, what you've said is something that they also say. So one of the things that I just see over and over again is that when we tend to get nervous, we tend to talk too much. And people think they don't necessarily take the time to practice their own story with, and I don't mean story like you're making it up, but your own experience with Beamer. And, you know, when you have the opportunity, when somebody asks you, a prospect, well, you know, how did you get into this, or what have you noticed with your horse? People tend to start out with, you know, I was born on a snowy, cold night, and, you know, they way too much history. And, you know, and that's not what the person wants to hear. And so I think, you know, as we focus on, you know, bringing in new people that we're trying to support, or if those of you on the call are new yourself, it really behooves you to practice with, you know, whether it's family or friend members, but practice some of the responses that you might give somebody who said, well, you know, how did you get into this, or why do you like this, or how are you using this on your horse? And make it be short and sweet, and make it be something that doesn't cover the entire, you know, doesn't cover A to Z, everything that you want to say. Make it have some impactful points that will keep in mind the answer that you want to, or the response that you want to prompt from the person you're talking with, is say, oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. You want them to engage and tell you that they want more information rather than you doing what we would call the data dump, telling them everything that you've ever learned, you know, and all do that. And so
I still
it's
do
kind
that
of,
sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. And it takes practice to learn not to. So in that respect, that's something I just really want to encourage people to do, is practice what you might say in response to those questions. You know, how did you get into this? Why do you like it? What have you found it does for you? What have you found it does for your horse? Do you use it all the time? And make your answers be short and sweet. And so that the other person will come back and want to know more. And then, you know, then they've agreed that they want to hear what you're going to say, rather than you saying too much and they're thinking, well, I didn't really ask for all that. It's a good way to turn people off. And, you know, you're enthusiastic and it's not your intention to do that, but that's what happens. And the more you do it, you'll kind of notice, why are people not coming back, or why are they not, you know, why do they seem more interested? Well, that's probably a good reason of one of the possibilities. It's your turn, Rainey.
Yeah. Between the two of us, we'll get through this today. You know, exactly what Cindy said, but if you're doing it the way Cindy said, which, like I said, I've been doing this for, I keep forgetting, is it 6 or 7 years, somewhere in there, forever, it seems like, when I get really excited and I'm talking to somebody, and I think it can, especially when I really think know how it can help them and I'm really excited about that, I still will get into that I will still fall into that pit of like just spewing out everything I know. But when you do it the way Cindy was talking about, which is the best way to do it, and which when I'm thinking I will do, you're creating a conversation then. So you're now this back and forth, and then you can find out information from them too based on what they're asking questions about. And that goes back to what we were talking about before, you know, kind of creating that conversation between somebody and learning about how this might impact their life and their horse's lives, depending on how they would use it. So by doing it that way, you're giving them information, but you're also starting a conversation between them. And so you can learn from that as well. So that's really from the years of doing it wrong and doing it right, the things that, you know, that obviously Cindy too, that we have kind of learned from all of this. So, it really can be more helpful to do it that way. So go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah, you're not, you're starting a conversation, which means both people talk, but you're also keeping that in the back of your mind too. You're wanting to build a relationship with this person, and you want to build and create trust in both the integrity and the knowledge, or if you don't have the knowledge, the fact that you say, I'll find out. You know, you're starting to create a trusted relationship with that person. And that's really how Beamer works the best, because people don't necessarily buy from, again, it's usually an emotional purchase. When you're talking about the $5,000 item, and about we tend to think, oh, they need to know all the facts. Well, about 6 or 7% of that decision is based on facts, and the rest of it is based on trust and perception of you and your credibility. So if you kind of keep that in the back of your mind, you know, you're not caught off guard, you're prepared, that really helps in responding to people, I've found. And, you know, again, it just takes practice. So don't expect to be an expert at the very outset.
And yeah, you know, you said a couple things in there that I used a lot in the beginning, and also that I wish I used more. So the first one is, if you don't know the answer, don't pretend like you know the answer. And especially when you're starting out, I never had a single person when I was starting out when I said, you know, that's a really great question, I don't know the answer, but I know somebody who does. And you can either find out and get back to them, or you can use that three-way call, which is the thing I don't do very well. Like I said, there's one thing I don't do very well. I forget about that. And I know what's such a great tool it is. And I just, for some reason, that's a hard one for me to kind of build into my repertoire. But I know, and I've done a three-way call both, you know, I've used it for my own prospects, but more often, because I forget to do it, people ask me to be on a three-way call. And probably a lot has to do with that I, you know, have the horse experience, the vet clinic and things like that. So people like to have that kind of credibility a little bit of using it in the vet clinic for the horse unit. So I end up being a person somebody uses a lot for a three-way call, but I forget on my own to use it as much as I should, because I have really great people in my circle, you know, people like Cindy and Tiff, and, you know, Bettina is my direct sponsor. So I have people very close to me that know a lot about a lot of things, and I just don't utilize it as much as I should. But I know that I should, and I've seen firsthand what a great tool it is. So I don't want people to forget about that. So those are two things that you said, Cindy, that really like clicked out to me, that that I think if you're just starting out, that you really need to kind of remember.
Agreed, absolutely.
All right, so it does look like we have somebody that wants to chat with us, so you guys don't just have to listen to us talk back and forth all day. So let's see who this is. We've got area code 801. Area code 801, you're live on Blog Talk.
Good morning. This is Cindy Parkinson from Utah.
Hi, Cindy.
And I appreciate what both of you have said and shared so far. So I sold a horse unit a few weeks ago, and I got a call yesterday from the trainer who read the entire manual, yay, yay for her, and she has been doing P1, I guess you call it P1, program one, the first week, and then she went up to program two the second week. But there's someone else in their barn that has a Beamer in a different barn, and she said in that barn they're doing P1, P2, P3 right in a row. And I thought it was kind of more like, and I don't know how it is with the horse one, if we're I've heard that you do program one first and then you go up to program two, but is that a week at a time, or do you do it right in a row? And then once they get to that maintenance sex and, you know, the maintenance.
Yeah.
Do you?
So, Cindy, this is a really great question and one that we get a lot, and what I'm glad you asked, and I'm going to turn it over to Cindy because I know she's done a lot of work on this. Go ahead, Cindy. I'll let you start.
It is a great question, and you will often find it, this is why we want to stress education so much, because in bigger barns, if there's more than one beamer, somebody else could have been trained or not and be doing it too long, if you will. I think it's hard for people to understand that there are significant physiological changes that happen within 5 minutes. That's, you know, and that's why we've got the pictures of what the changes look like literally inside the colon area of a horse to show you. And that's why I like to have it on your phone so you can show people. You don't need more than 5 minutes. Now, have I done more than 5 minutes on program P1? Yes, I have, but maybe twice, just because the horse liked it so much. But it's not necessary. And so you'll see if one of the things that I want to redirect you to is it's on the Life.Beamer Group equine website page. There's FAQs. There's also FAQs in your back office under the equine section. And one of the things we talk about in there is that, yes, you can do more than one program if you feel absolutely like you have to. Know that that's you saying you have to, not or the horse saying, I want more. It's not scientifically necessary to do more. But the recommendation is to not do more than 15 minutes total. That doesn't mean anything about that you would not be hurting the horse. It's just not necessary. And what you're kind of doing is, let's see, if Cindy, the example you said, somebody did program 1, 2, and 3, so that'd be 5 minutes plus 10 minutes plus 15 minutes. So they've created a 30-minute session, which is absolutely unnecessary. And one of the great advantages of Beamer is that it doesn't take a lot of time. So you don't want to tell people that it definitely takes a lot of time. Now, the time would be spent, that would be, you know, if you did just the blanket for 5 minutes and then you would do the cuffs for another 5 minutes or 10 minutes or some other area. But to just do the same thing for 30 minutes, it's that might make them feel good. They might think that it works great. And there may be good results from that, but it is just not scientifically shown that it's necessary, or else Beamer would have created a 30-minute program. So it can be a little bit awkward when you're in a barn or a location where somebody else is doing a whole different protocol. We've seen this where there's trainers and people out there who are using Beamer for an hour. And we really try and help educate those people to say that, you know, it's not necessary. It's not what we recommend. And so I encourage you to go and look through at the FAQs, you know, and certainly, you know, there's things that you learn the more you use it, that a horse that, you know, not all horses need to go to the higher level. You'll notice that when the intensity of each program, 1, 2, or 3, it starts at intensity level 10. And it's just that program 3 goes up to a higher level. Program 2 goes slightly to a more medium level. But the strength of the intensity dictates the level of penetration into the tissue and the body. And, you know, you don't need to go deep when you're dealing with a lot of surface issues and muscles and nerves. And some horses just don't like it. So you have to respond to how the horse is, rather than saying, you know, this is what I always do, you want to listen to what the horse is telling you that they need and that they respond well to. So that's kind of a long answer that goes all over the place. I hope it helps, gives you some perspective. But just keep in mind, the programs are short because that's what our research says is most effective, and you don't need to do more than that.
That was an awesome answer. Thank you so much. So you don't even have to do like intensity program one the first week and then go up to two the next week. If one is working, it's okay to just continue to do one every week then?
Well, I would still move around because even though you're changing intensities within the program, you don't want the body to get, just like with people, you don't want the body to get used to the same pattern. So, you know,
right.
I
explained that to her. Yeah, so I understand that. So, should you use it a week at a time, or is it okay to do program one day and then program two the next day and then go, you know, just kind of vary it daily, or do you vary it weekly with a horse?
I would vary it personally as to where the horse was at, what I was asking them to do. You know, if they're in training or they're going to a competition or they're sitting in their stall or their paddock and not getting touched for a week, it would really depend. I think the recommendation that comes from us at the company is to say introduce it slowly. So just like we have a basic plan for people 1 week, level one, it's 1 week with the horse with level program one and see how the horse reacts. And so after they've gone through the initial couple of weeks of seeing how the horse reacts to each of those programs, then they can determine what's better. You know, personally, if I had a horse in training and I was going to ride them, I would use a program two probably if the horse is used to that and responds. I would like to use a slightly higher program to help them get warmed up before they worked. And then if they worked really, really hard, I would use a program one afterwards. It's the same principles that you see with people and athletes. You say you go slightly higher to begin with, and then after your body is exhausted and you've got acidic buildup and things like that, then you use a lower program. So it really depends on what the horse is being asked to do and how they're being used and how they react to this specific, you know, how each one reacts. You know, a lazy horse is going to be worse than an anxious horse. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if there's no other callers, I have one more question, and that is just if you could maybe briefly summarize the international call from this week, because I was not able, the registration filled up. And so for those of us who couldn't get on it, maybe a summary of just kind of what you learned on that call, if either of you were on it. I assume you were.
Well, that in my case, that's incorrect, Cindy. I listened to one last month because I wanted to see what they were doing. This month I saw that they had a different competitor who was a guest. But what I can tell you from before is that these calls that they do, one, there's a fellow who's a marketing, more of a salesperson, and there's a veterinarian who's worked with Beamer a long time, and they kind of tag team it, and they talk both about the product, and they do this in an arena, so they bring the horse in, which is the nice touch because they've got a live horse when they're showing, you know, how putting on the blanket and using it. And then they also talk about the business side. So they kind of do a combination of the presentations that we do here in America, where on the second Wednesday of the month we do the product presentation, on the fourth Wednesday of the month we do the business opportunity presentation. But they roll it all into one. So I was interested in, you know, in who their guest was, but I was not able to be on that call. So maybe we have some other people that are also on the call but haven't raised their hands yet. If you were on the international call, we'd love to hear some feedback from you.
Yeah, that
and thank
nice.
You again. Really appreciate both of you.
No Absolutely. Problem, Cindy. And thank you for that. Thank you for that question, because that is a question that we do get a lot, and that most of you are probably going to run into a lot too. And really, think about it. If you know a lot about the human unit, think about it very similar to that. And the fact that you wouldn't sit down on your Beamer or tell anybody, you know, a new district or a new person who bought your Beamer to go and do it for, you know, 40 minutes twice a day, you would show them the basic plans and talk about how you only need, you know, the 8 minutes twice a day. And it's not going to hurt you to do more than that.
But there's no need to spend half of your day, you know, on the Beamer. Just like with the horses, especially if they're in training or something, that's a huge time commitment if you're talking about half an hour or more doing Beamer sessions, which, like Cindy said, that's one of our big, you know, selling points is it only takes five or 10 minutes. So that's a huge selling point, that it only is a really quick and easy session that you have to take time to do, especially if you're in training and with multiple horses in training. You know, the half an hour or more can be a deal breaker for some people because they just don't have that time. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
You know,
especially if there's a lot of horses in the barn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And Rainey, you may think of something else too. For those of you that might have watched the wellness program that Dr. Burka did last night, which was really good. I encourage you to look at the recording when it goes in the BBO. But, you know, he was stressing the fact of, you know, not wanting to do continual sessions, and he was referencing the B spot, the intensive applicator, but to say same thing with horses as with humans. Give the body time to react to the Beamer stimulation. We know that the effects last for hours afterwards. Give the body time to do its work. Don't keep bombarding it. So, yes, you were working with a condition and you were using the cuffs on a place, maybe on the neck or the croup or something. You can do it more than once a day, but you're going to get better results if you don't do it continually and give the body time to react.
Yeah, and probably
yes, I remember
all of
the
you have
training. I was at a training one time, and Dr. Burka was there, and I told him that one time my back was so bad that I couldn't stand up straight, and so I did a P3 three times in a row, you know, and he explained to me, you know, just the same way you work out your arms one day and your legs the next day, you want your body to recover, and so you would have been much better off to do that P3 and then wait a couple hours and then hit it again if you needed to. So I was just sitting there reading, and so I just kept hitting start, and I learned my lesson.
Yeah, same principle. So thank you.
Thank you.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate your call and your questions, because those are really great. So, yeah, and Dr. Burke and I have had similar conversations about all of this too, of just kind of giving your body a chance to respond and react to it. I mean, and like I was just about to say, I mean, almost all of you probably have a story either from yourself or something that somebody has told you on your own, you know, human use, where you had some sort of, you know, something going on, and you used the Beamer, and it wasn't like you got right up off and everything was fine, but maybe a couple hours later you went and moved a certain way, and you're like, oh, it's gone, you know, and that's the body using that Beamer signal and working kind of through that. It wasn't necessarily immediately, but the body had to take time to kind of work through that. So if you can kind of think about that, is probably, like I said, probably most of you have a story from yourself or one that somebody's told you that's similar to that. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. So
just because horses are large animals doesn't mean that the principles of their metabolism are totally different. Use examples from your own experience as well as from what we talk about with athletes, you know, and it's all about recovery,
yeah,
the ability to regenerate and recover. And that's why we want, you know, we really want to engage and balance the nervous system between sympathetic and parasympathetic. So for people that are new, that's just something that you really want to be aware of. Humans have an autonomic nervous system that has both parasympathetic and sympathetic responses. And so similar, you know, so there's the balance is what's important. With horses, it's more pronounced because they're prey animals. And so their fight or flight, their sympathetic response, and their ability to take off at a dead run in an instant is what enabled their species to survive, for one of the reasons, and their quick responses are just absolutely necessary. But if they're always in that mode, they're not able to, that's not when the body repairs and regenerates. So it's really important to balance the system. You want to engage the parasympathetic response,
activates it and help there be a balance between the two. And that's one of the things that Beamer does. So that's something that you could read up on, and it would impact both people and horses. But that's a really important aspect of what Beamer does when people are talking about, well, you know, is this just another PEMF? No, it's not just another PEMF. That's part of your homework. If that's not something that's a conversation topic or something, definitely you want to check that out more. So
yeah,
it looks
absolutely.
Like nobody that's too bad.
Nobody else wants to chat with us. Or nobody's on that was able to listen to that call last night, so that's too bad. Maybe we'll have to see if we can find somebody that can talk to us next week. That would be great. Because I know neither of us were able to be on it, so that would be really great. And I lost my train of thought. I was gonna add something. That's how my brain's going today, apparently. I was just going to say, what you're talking about is learning about, you know, this parasympathetic and parasympathetic balance and, you know, that autonomic nervous system. And most of that is, you're not probably going to talk to most people about that, except in maybe just kind of passing or, you know, saying a few things about it. But the more you know about it, the more you understand how Beamer can impact that. And that's more for almost for self-education rather than that you're going to just kind of spew out all that information to anybody. But for me anyway, when I try to learn about the things like that, when I want to go deeper into something, it's more for my own understanding so I can talk about Beamer in a different way rather than, you know, spew out all of that information that I know. But we do know from, you know, Dr. Klopp's research that he did with the horses that hopefully someday we'll get over here. from all of that research you did a few years ago on horses, even though they are bigger, because they are a prey animal, their response is faster even to Beamer. So they don't necessarily need higher or more than we do. So keeping that in mind, because they are those prey animals and their regulatory system is so much faster than ours, they respond faster and easier to Beamer too. So just because they're bigger doesn't mean they need more. So... All right,
and
Cindy. Well,
so
even with all Gary,
yeah,
go ahead.
Competing, some other devices that are out there will say, "No, you need to be stronger," and you'll see that they use frequencies and intensities that are very high. And personally, I have no interest in being close to some of those modalities, and I wouldn't want my horse to either. So, personal choice.
Yep. All right. Well, Cindy, it looks like even with one caller, we managed to talk the half an hour away. So I hope that we had some good information for all of you and that you all learned something from it. Please, I hope if there's somebody on the line that either watched that program last night or know somebody who did, if you guys can come on next week, we would love to hear from you because I really think that's a good tool that I hope we could talk about and kind of give a preview for those people that didn't get to hear it. That would be great. Start thinking about now any of the questions and or stories that you'd want to talk to us about next week, because as you can see, the question that Cindy asked us really brought on a big conversation, and I know a conversation that Cindy and I have both had to have with a lot of people and that you probably will have to have with a lot of people. So as you can see, one question can really impact a lot of people. So please keep that in mind and bring your questions to us. We would love to answer those. All right, Cindy, anything final to add before we say goodbye for the week?
Let's see. I don't think so. I'm not having any brilliant flashes, but the European thing was recorded, so I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully we can find out about that. That would be great. And if we can find out, we'll let you guys know next week if that recording is available and where it will be available if it is. So, all right. Well, thanks so much everyone for calling in and listening to us. And thank you, Cindy, for your question. That was a really great one for today. Be sure to tune into other Blog Talk days. They're doing some really great things on other days. There's the Fast Start programs that they're working on. So be sure to listen to those. Otherwise, we will talk to you all next Thursday. Thanks, you guys. Have such a great week.
Have a great week, Cindy. Thank you.
Thanks. And Cindy, now here I'm going to push this end of show over here.
Today's show is brought to you by an independent group of Beamer distributors who are committed to helping you find success in your business.
End
We're
episode.
All part of a bigger mission to bring this amazing technology to a market that so desperately needs it. We'll be back again really soon. Until then,
end of show all the way to the right. I pushed play over there. You see there's applause and the show. So
know,
I push that and that gets that recording. And then I'm going to go up top and hit end episode and then we can't talk anymore. It appears.
Okay, yeah. Yes, the end of show was hidden behind the pop-up. Sorry, so that's why I couldn't see it. Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.